The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials,
and welcome back to The Toast. Happy Tuesday.
Did you initialize the cards?
I initialized the cards. We are all ready to go. Don't worry. I run this studio when I'm down here. Like, this studio, I understand, my domain.
I know.
Cards have been initialized. Everything has been cleared. We're ready to go. When you walk in this studio, you know you are ready when I am here.
I know.
I'm not here.
We used to have a checklist, and now we're just so comfortable, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, you never want to be too safe.
I have a checklist, and I did it. I did it.
Okay. So yeah. We're an I now.
When I do something by myself, it is an I, yes.
We didn't do it.
Did you do anything? You didn't even know if the memory cards were initialized.
I did do a lot of things. Yeah. I gave you your sweatshirt. I dressed you. I opened the packages. We could see what to wear.
I have been here for so motherfucking long. I have nothing else to wear. And I already was working with, you know, my wardrobe here isn't great. So thank God for Bridget sending us these bar sweatshirts, because I'm wearing yours today. And it looks like I might need to be wearing one each day of the week.
I think she sent enough for us to do so.
Yeah.
And we can then swap. You know, it's each permutation of what colors we'll each wear. I think we have 10 options total.
Permutations. So it's Tuesday. Which doesn't mean anything.
That's really interesting that it's Tuesday.
It doesn't mean anything.
No. It means that we're in it though. You know, we've officially entered the week.
It's true. We're no longer shy, dipping our toes in.
And wanting to go backwards. We're forging ahead in this new week.
We're kind of foragers.
Yeah. In our forest green sweater.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah. I think it's good. It's been a great week so far with my girl Turd. Mm-hmm. We had such a fun day yesterday, working, eating, playing.
That is exactly what we did.
Yeah.
We worked. We ate. And we played so fucking hard. Harry at 7 o'clock, he was like, I gotta go to bed, guys.
Yeah, he's like, too much for me. You wiped me out.
Too much.
And I think I'm looking forward to another day of such things today.
I'm looking forward to another day of working, of playing, and definitely of eating.
For sure. We haven't made a plan for the third part. And yeah. I don't like when we don't have a plan.
Well, I've kind of just been, you know, really focusing all my energy on planning a really gorgeous episode for Thursday.
Yes.
You guys don't know it, but Thursday's episode is kind of an enormous milestone here at The Toast. It is going to be our 1,000th episode.
Four digits.
1,000
episodes.
And I do believe we are entering a very premium category of podcasters. I can't even think. Of course, Joe Rogan has over 1,000. He's up to 1,500 or something. I'm sure The Daily has, but I don't really include them. If your podcast is owned and by a major media company, I don't consider you a podcaster. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're someone with a job.
You're just a media company. I'm talking about independent podcasters. I feel like maybe Heather McDonald has reached 1,000 because she's been doing this long before anyone.
Yes, and there was someone else because we've had this conversation once before and someone wrote in the comments of another podcast. I was like, oh yeah, they definitely have 1,000 episodes. But it's a very small club. I would say it can't be more than 10 podcasts that are in the top 200 of podcasts.
That have 1,000. Yeah, you could have 1,000, but no one listens. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a big week.
It is a really big week. We've kind of been creeping towards this milestone, always being excited for it, always hoping that we would be together for it.
And we didn't even plan this. So it's so kismet beshert.
Beshert that we're going to be together on Thursday for our 1,000th episode. And it will probably be an episode just like any other.
An amazing one.
An amazing one. We're so excited and feeling so hashtag proud. Mm-hmm. But maybe we should just take the episode off. Maybe it's okay, we've done 1,000 episodes. Let's stop talking.
Let's take a day off.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then but then we wouldn't have any thousand.
Yeah, like, and then the next day, and we just like, we would never do it because we keep thinking we deserve this day off.
Right. So we don't really have anything planned yet, but just know it's going to be a really special episode. If you have any ideas like for what we should do, let me know, because I'm kind of like drawing a blank.
Yeah, I'm sure people come up with good ideas. They probably all include like watching our first episode back, which like
how, I know,
logistically, like, well, one.
I could never.
One?
No.
No. Two, like logistically, how would that work? Like, we're going to bring a TV in here. We're going to watch it. No.
This is our 1,000th episode of The Toast.
Yeah.
We did a year of our show before we rebranded from The Breath. I would be happier to watch the first episode of The Breath than I would to be watch the first episode of The Toast, because I could never watch. I literally could never watch the first episode of The Toast.
No, I couldn't. But we could do like a roulette where we just like pick one random episode, like 369.
Right, right.
And we watch that.
Yeah.
Something like that. But again, logistically, it's a kind of a nightmare.
We should pick 213.
Why? Because that's Harry's birthday.
Take longer to remember your son's birthday.
Yeah. You kind of said, like, that was kind of like an entrapment situation. Like, you knew and you were just, like, trying to see, get me.
Okay,
get
but,
me
like, if anybody ever said, we should do 710, I'd be like, oh, that's my birthday, you know? Like,
I wasn't thinking in terms of birthday. Like, I would say, what was 700? Like, what year was that? Like, what's 710?
Okay, it's fine.
I was just, like, really thinking really practically.
Yeah, well, I think we should do 213.
Okay, 213 it is.
For Patreon.
But how is that? For Patreon. Because, like, we could use the TV out there. Yeah. We won't be in the studio. We could bring our camera.
Yeah.
We could give it a shot.
We'll give it a shot. But in the meantime, just keep in mind this big milestone coming up. It's kind of a big week for your girls.
And I think more importantly than doing, like, a fun segment or, you know, something crazy, is just to take stock.
Yeah.
Where Look we're back. At. Where we came from. Where we're going. And just, like, be a little proud of ourselves. We really never take the time to like stop and
look
stare
around
and be like, wow, we did that.
Yeah. So maybe the Thursday episode will just be a silent episode of us staring.
Us sitting and reflecting and asking you to reflect with us, you know, on who you've become since you've started listening to The Toast. How long have you been listening to The Toast? How has your life changed?
It'll be a lot of us looking forward
as we
looking back, but then looking forward again. Towards the future.
Towards the future.
And you know what the future is? It's bright and toasty.
What's that Hebrew phrase? Odd.
You know, 120.
We passed 120.
No, but like it's 120 years.
Oh.
Like when you wish someone a birthday, you're like, happy birthday, odd 120. Like may you live till 120.
Okay. Maybe toast till 120.
Yeah. 1200.
Yeah.
We'll figure out the verbiage.
Yeah, we'll figure out the official slogan, but we just wanted to get you guys excited in the lead up to 1,000 and hear from you what you would like to see from us.
Yeah. Big day.
For our 1,000th episode.
Yeah. Big day.
Big day. Huge.
So, other than that, you know, enormous life-changing milestone, we just got a gorgeous show today. You know, a couple stories. No, tomorrow's Dear Toaster. So, just like a regular, you know, good old-fashioned episode of The Toast. Jackson Claude. No brass, no stress.
Ugh, no brass, no stress. Those boys did not want to work today.
I could relate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they were like, you guys have to go, but
we don't.
We don't.
Yeah, we'll just wait for you to put kibble on the table.
And we won't.
And we shan't.
They said that.
They did.
So you want to dive right in?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything else to like catch people up on, do you?
No, because I'm caught up with you. Mm-hmm. We haven't been watching television. We've been reading our books. Mm-hmm. It's a couple of studious girlies. Mm-hmm. You started a new book.
Yeah, I did. It was like, you know, a spicy wreck. I think maybe I got it from the Redheads book or from Snatchler. Redheads group, sorry.
Okay.
It's called Scandalized. It's fine. You don't need to read it, but it's fine.
I'm reading The Marriage Portrait, which Dana recommended because it's historical fiction. It's about the Medicis. And she really liked it. And she doesn't read that genre. So she's like, these are your people. Like, you should read this book. It was really good. And like, I cannot get into it. Mm. I will forge ahead, but it's just dense. So that's really it.
Yesterday actually kind of was like a big milestone because we, you know, sat down in bed with Harry and we turned on The Toast for him. And he wasn't interested, not in the slightest.
Yeah.
And then we turned on Miss Rage and he was like dazzled, you know,
yeah.
by her. It was a tough loss. I'm not going
to
lie.
Maybe we need to punch in. I feel like this camera's a little too far away. He might like a remote episode.
Yeah. I just felt like, you know, audio wise, he would connect with it immediately because, you know, in utero, you did 9 months of episodes. Like, I thought he would immediately kind of recognize it.
Yeah, I feel like he's a little jaded because he gets it all the time now.
For free.
Like he could have toast on demand whenever he wants.
Yeah.
And he was like, why would I sit and watch this when I'm literally sitting in between you two bitches?
No, and he was also just like, shut the fuck up and put on Miss Rach, which
yeah,
is fair.
It is.
Like, we're not necessarily like teaching him anything, you know?
That's a lie.
That is a lie.
Bold-faced lie.
No, we're not teaching him to clap or...
But he was literally looking at the TV, and then he was looking at you to his right.
Yeah.
And me to his left. And he literally, if he could speak, he would say, you guys are obsessed with yourselves.
Yeah. No, he'd be like, the fuck? Like, girls, get a grip. That's what he would say. He would
say, girls, like, it's not that good.
No, so true. So true. But he would be wrong. It is that good.
Yeah, it is. But is it, like, good that we have to watch, like, that episode that day, like, with him?
Yes.
When he probably can hear it downstairs.
I mean, yesterday with the Grammys recap, like it was...
That's true.
You know, there's a lot of discourse in our comment section about, you know, who deserved album. It was really kind of like the Beyonce versus the Harry fans.
It was crazy how like those fandoms like feel so certain. Like, no, Beyonce was the album of the year. Like it just was. And then the Harry people are like, Harry's album was... And I guess it's like good to see. And there's really no consensus.
Because art is subjective.
But I had no idea that it was that intense.
Contentious.
Between the two groups.
Yeah.
So, you know, get a life. Wow. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I understand the passion. Trust me, if Kelly was up for album of the year, like I'd be in the comments like, it was Kelly's year. It was the year of Kelly.
Speaking of Kelly, did you see her collab with Pink?
I did, but I didn't. Like, I've seen that it exists, but I haven't digested it yet.
They sat down and sang a few songs, not just one. Like they did this really beautiful like acoustic harmony version of some Pink songs. It was really good. Pink, you know, stopped by the Kelly Clarkson show, and Kelly, you know, as she does, put her to work.
Okay, I need to like sit down and enjoy it. I don't want to see like a 10-second clip.
Kelly's been killing it.
I've seen that it exists, and I also was listening to like, you know, some cool kids playlist on Spotify this morning. And there was a new Pink song in there. Have you heard it?
How does it go?
It's called Trust Fall. I only heard it once. I couldn't tell you how it goes, but it's so gorgeous.
That's so Pink.
And I was listening to it like right after Flowers, which like is one of my these like best songs ever and like is getting so much
hype
and fanfare. And it's like Pink puts out Fire Flame songs every time she puts out a song. And it's like, she doesn't even get a fraction of the hype.
Because you want to know why? Like, Pink is...
We take her for granted.
Yeah, but Pink has just kind of cemented herself, like, as an icon. Like, she doesn't need these elaborate, viral, promotional things. Like, she just has a huge audience, and her songs, like, do well. And I think she's just, like, happy and fulfilled with that. Like, she doesn't need to be number one all the time. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? She does it for the art.
But it's like, I'm not saying she should be doing more. I'm saying as fans, like, we should be, like, propping up the best song.
I know.
Like, and it's like, she's always giving us the best song. And then someone gives us like a pretty good song. And we're like,
yeah, no, Pink is out here just like consistently doing the most. And we're just taking it for granted.
That's like what I said 2 minutes ago, that we take her for granted.
No, and that's me agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
Like, is that okay?
I thought it was like you coming at it as if it were a new thought. Once again, our agreements have left us speechless.
Yeah. And feeling targeted.
Get over it.
So perhaps that would be a good time.
That would be a good time to get into some divisive stories that we can.
Jackie says she has a hot take coming out for us.
I do have a hot take. I'm really excited because it's a historical hot take too. And it's relevant in present day. It's for everyone.
All right. Well, let's do it then.
Without further ado, here are the fast side stories that you need to know.
And today's episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Try it free for 30 days is enough time to try and completely forget about a subscription or a service. Before you know it, you're paying for a subscription that you don't use for months on end. With Rocket Money, you can change that within a few quick taps. So Rocket Money, which is formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions that they forgot about, like that streaming service you bought just to watch one new show on, or that free trial that you never actually used. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you so you can stop paying for the ones that you don't want. Simply find the subscription that you don't want, press cancel, and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. There's no long hold times with customer service, no tedious emailing back and forth. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as the click of a button. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. So true. By the way, like I get like things that keep me up at night were like all the things that I had put down my credit card for a free trial and forgotten about. And Rocket Money just like did that for me. Not only for me, but like I have different bank accounts, like for personal, for work, and I'm always putting like random things on the business. Rocket Money was just out here, like,
you are?
Yeah. Rocket Money was just out here clearing my conscience. So stop throwing your money away, cancel your unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/toast. That's rocketmoney.com/toast, rocketmoney.com/TOAST. Today's episode is also brought to you by Thrive Market, our go-to for all of our grocery and household essentials. And the convenience of getting it all quickly shipped to our doorstep is a huge time saver. We have gotten so many good deliveries while I've been here from Thrive Market.
This house runs on Thrive Market because you guys, you know, I'm in my clean era one. So one, it's like an organic grocery shopping online. Like there couldn't be anything more me. It's like digital grocery shopping, organic, like baby food.
So easy to search, like so, based on what you want.
So easy to search. They have like all the best brands, all the best snacks, baby food. And then I also try new things. They also have like Thrive Market brand and stuff. So like I have their dates that are so good. Mm-hmm. I kept trying to convince Kayla that they were chocolate.
Yeah. But it's also a really good place to discover new brands because it's not your typical. They're not like other brands.
No.
And Lob.
And like it's great because everything is like vetted, good for you, organic. Mm-hmm.
It has the Thrive Market stamp of approval.
Right, which means everything. You don't have to like go around checking the backs of the labels.
As a Thrive Market member, we save money on every single order. On average, we are saving 30% each time. So we literally got a box 2 days ago. Zach Weinreb was so excited. He was like, can I open it? We're like, no. On top of the massive savings on each order, Thrive Market has deals and a deal page that changes daily. So it gives us cash back on so many brands and they have a price match guarantee. So they save us money, but they also save time. Love the filters on their website or their app. They have over 70 filters. So whether you're looking for certified gluten-free snacks, non-toxic cleaning essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with the click of a button. So whatever your dietary restrictions are, like we have a lot, it's so easy. You don't have to sift through products that you cannot purchase because that filtering system is like, kind of revolutionary.
Also, they have frozen food. So they'll send you a frozen food box. Like I got frozen pizzas. We love this one brand that are like the best pizzas ever. Some frozen mac and cheese, like meals for the week, and they come fresh frozen.
Join Thrive Market today and get 30% off your order plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/thetoast for 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. thrivemarket.com/thetoast, thrivemarket.com/thetoast.
Frozen foods is so Marjorie Post. Real ones know. All right, Do you want to know why that's so Marjorie Post?
Okay.
Okay, so she like took over Post cereal, which her dad invented, and then she acquired a brand called Bird's Eye.
Oh, I'm
frozen
familiar.
Foods.
It's still
and
around.
She was the first one to like make a bet on frozen foods that people would want them in their home and get an ice box and then eventually a freezer, and it was like the best. Mm. Buy ever.
Interesting.
I have Bird's Eye in my freezer. I love Bird's Eye.
Yeah, no, they're like in millions of grocery stores.
Yeah, so like she really is like
she did
the
that.
Pioneer. She did that.
Cool, that's cool.
Pioneer frozen foods. Well, except the guy that she bought Bird's Eye from. Like,
right, he was really the pioneer. Yeah,
but like she took a chance on an unknown frozen foods Fisher. Cool. And it's really cool.
Okay, just move on. Like, come on.
First story, drama in Montana.
Oh.
Kevin Costner's Yellowstone work dispute sparks cancellation buzz. Have you seen this?
I did, but I just kind of brushed it off.
I know, I'm like in denial, but here is what we know.
Okay.
Paramount Network, Paramount Global, and series co-creator and showrunner Taylor Sheridan could be ending the popular Western in its current form, sources told Deadline on Monday, but are trying to extend the franchise with a new show starring Matthew McConaughey. Okay, I don't believe all of that. The show's potential shuttering comes, insiders allegedly claimed, as the show's current star, Kevin Costner, is reportedly having disagreements over shooting schedules. The friction is allegedly causing morale issues with fellow actors on the show. In a statement to the Post, a Paramount Network spokesperson shot down the rumor and attempted to put fans' minds at ease, saying, "We have no news to report. Kevin Costner is a big part of Yellowstone, and we hope that's the case for a long time to come." Yeah. "Thanks to the brilliant mind of Taylor Sheridan, we are always working on franchise expansions of this incredible world he has built. Matthew McConaughey is a phenomenal talent with whom we'd love to partner." So they definitely have something brewing with Matthew McConaughey.
But and I don't think that necessarily has anything to do with the other story.
Yeah, the other story though, so sources claim that Kevin Costner allotted himself 65 days to shoot the first part of the series' current fifth season, which we saw. And he only ended up wanting to shoot for 50 days. Now, as the cast is shooting the second half of the episodes, Kevin Costner reportedly only wants to spend 1 week filming, which is causing an alleged rift.
Okay, I don't know why I've like always kind of envisioned Kevin Costner is like a real, you know, down-home, all-American, like humble, modest, like not difficult person. Mm-hmm. So I'm having a hard time putting him in that box, but it does sound like he's literally being difficult. Like, I understand, like not wanting to work, like respect it. However, like you just won the Emmy. You're on the biggest show on television. Golden Globe, sorry. You're on the biggest show on television. Like, I would think he would be even more excited than ever.
I know.
About the show.
So I feel a couple ways about it. Like, on the one hand, where there's smoke, there's fire, and we have to acknowledge the smoke and that, like, Kevin Costner.
Because their statement kind of corroborates that Kevin is being difficult.
And we hope he's part of this for years to come. Yeah. Like, he shaved 15 days off his work schedule. And I'm sorry, you can't, like, film the second half of a show in a week. Like, you're going to have to do more. On the other hand, I kind of feel like these, like, Deadline and these like media insiders like want to take down Yellowstone.
Yeah, because it's so like, popular.
It's an outlier.
Yeah.
It's like it shouldn't be this big.
Right.
And I feel like they kind of love drumming up the drama within it. And I think Matthew McConaughey would actually be really good for a spinoff.
Me too.
But if he in some way, shape, or form replaces Kevin Costner, I don't know if the fans are gonna go for that.
No. Also, they'd be better off ending the show because, like, when there's, like, a lack of continuity, it's confusing.
Or they'd be better off, like, killing John because everybody wants to kill John all the time. And at some point, like, he will have to die.
Right.
And then, like, we see how the kids, like, we've always been preparing for the next generation. Right. So, like, we could see how
but
that would go.
He's the heart of the show. Like, you really can't. And there's really not an apt replacement unless it's Rip.
No, like, Rip and Beth.
Yeah.
And they can make other characters more likable, like Casey.
He's getting better. This is so, like, weird to me because, like, to me, you're right. Like, Yellowstone is this outlier show. It's, like, was never supposed to be successful.
No.
And, like, it became the number one
Paramount
show.
Plus,
it was the number one show on television. And, like, to me, they're perfect, you know?
Yeah, they're so happy. Like, they can't believe all
this
success.
They have the best job in the world.
And it's, like, Kevin Costner took on this job when it was an unknown, nothing
uncool
show filled with like a cast of people I've never seen before.
Unknowns.
And now that it's the biggest show in the world, he like couldn't be a bigger star. Like now's the time when you want to turn your back. Like that's a little
maybe the Golden Globe is like getting to his head.
You think? Or it's like it's become too mainstream. I've got to go.
Maybe he's like more of like an indie artist.
Yeah. And he's like, we're too big.
I don't know. I'm feeling really disappointed. If any, and you know what?
But I feel like this is meant to like sow discord amongst the fans, you know? And I feel
I would agree.
Yellowstone fam, we have to stay strong.
I would agree if it weren't for that statement from Paramount. Like yeah, they just corroborated the whole story.
Yeah. Because on the one hand, they said, we hope he's a part of it. And on the other hand, they like wouldn't, you know, talk shit about Matthew McConaughey because they are talking to him in contracts.
Right. So I'm feeling beyond disheartened. Like I was ready to brush this whole thing off until you read the statement.
Yeah.
There's something there.
The brethren have snuck into the studio.
There's something there.
There's something there that wasn't there before.
What's that from?
Beauty and the Beast.
There must be something there that wasn't there before.
So,
that
was like not great news to start the day.
No, that's fucking horrendous. I saw it, read the headline and just like brushed it off. I'm like, ugh, everyone's coming for Yellowstone. Classic jealous wenches.
Yeah.
Turns
jealous.
Out. Turns out, maybe they're not so jealous, those wenches. Maybe they're onto something.
No, they're still jealous, but maybe like
they're not lying.
They're not lying.
Maybe they're not lying wenches.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Let's see how the second half of season 5 goes and like how
so
much.
So you're saying they haven't even filmed it yet?
They're filming it. They're
okay, where's Kevin?
It. Who knows?
It's literally Home Alone. Where's Kevin? Pass this to Kevin.
Who knows? But he also listed his 160 acre Aspen Ranch for rent.
Yeah.
So like maybe he's just kind of like
done
disposing of his material items.
Yeah, that ranch I looked into it
for $36,000 a night. I guess he's gonna get that material item.
It was just like a little out of my price range, which was upsetting because it was like kind of the perfect house for me. You ever see a house that's like so you, whether it's on Zillow or like a celebrity
listing?
Yeah,
I'm looking
at
it. It's pretty gorgeous. Yeah. Oh, and imagine the brethren.
Yeah.
Looks like the Sound of Music.
Yeah, you ever just see a house that's like really kind of designed for you and then you find out it's just like millions out of your price range. I just hate when that happens.
Yeah. Oh, in this article about the house, it said rumors surfaced on Friday as to whether season 5 of the highly popular series would be his last.
No, there's something going on with Kevin. And like, what are you doing, Kevin? Even though I will say there is a time to end a show. And I don't know if it's if Yellowstone's time, but like it really isn't like amazing anymore.
No, I'm loving it more than ever because it's just comfort.
Yes. No, now it's like a soap opera that you tune into every week. It's a Western soap opera, but it's not like this drama filled like best show on TV. Like I'm surprised that like he won the Golden Globe this season. He should have won it like 3 seasons ago, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's time yet, but a time does come. And I respect an actor and an artist knowing when the time is up and not just letting a show go on for decades. But it's not the time.
Yeah.
It's getting close, but it's not the time.
No. And he could go, but I think the show should stay. And I think it really should turn into like, what's next?
Second gen.
Well, actually at this point it's like 8th gen.
Next gen. Gen Bip.
Yeah. And it's Rip and Beth.
Yeah. Gen Reth.
Even though it will pass to What's Casey's boy's name?
Annoying. Tate.
Tate. It will pass to Tate.
To the annoying kid who's going through puberty. He's like, you know, it's always tough watching a show that goes on for a long time when there's a young boy on it. Because he eventually goes through that phase, Bran, where they've got like a hairy upper lip and their voice cracks and they're just...
They're not the kid. They're not cute anymore.
Yeah, no. They every kid, especially a boy, like goes through like a really weird, ugly phase. And it's universal. It's not, you know, it's everyone.
Yeah.
It's tough to watch. It really is, Bran. And Tate's going through it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Damn.
But, yeah, I guess because Beth can't have children biologically.
Mm-hmm.
But they got that kid, that runaway.
They do.
That and mini
like,
rip.
You never know. Like, miracles have happened.
Yeah. But she had a hysterectomy. Like, I don't think that's not like a miracle. That's just like impossible.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe they could come to love that kid as their own.
Yeah, but like, I don't know if that would work for them to pass it down. It's like not.
Why?
Done.
They don't care.
Yeah, like, I guess like John.
They're not like crazy
John
blood.
The land, the rant, the land to rip.
Yeah, no.
And it's not like they're gonna give it to Jamie's kid. Actually, but Jamie's not even.
Right. Jamie's not even.
Jamie's not even. He should leave it to the Strethern. They would love it.
They would clean that shit up. Like, they would run it like a...
And they would enjoy it.
Yeah, no, and they would get, like, the finances right. They're businessmen, these brethren.
Yeah, they are.
They're business brethren.
They knew they had to come to work, even though they didn't want to.
Even though they're sleeping on the job.
Do you think they were, like, talking to each other out there? Like, should we go in?
I know, it's like, moms are going to be mad at us, but, like, oh, I'm not
They're,
in the
like,
mood.
Listening out there, like, the show's not that good yet. Maybe they need
us. They need us. Look at them both, like...
Because they came in together, like, yeah. Hey, we're here to help.
Yeah, like, hey, we heard the show. Sounds like you could use our help.
I love you, boys. Mom's angels.
I'm so devastated about this. Like,
I know.
One thing about Yellowstone we could count on them for is, like, no off-the-scenes drama.
No Hollywood drama. Right. No egos.
Diva. Yeah. But looks like they're just like every other show.
But I also like want to keep my head, like a level head about this, because I also know they're trying.
To come for Yellowstone.
To come for Yellowstone.
So true.
And they're trying to make it look like it's Yellowstone coming for itself, but like, I'm on
it's deadline.
You. Jealous wenches. Jealous, you can never have this audience that's so big.
Jealous wenches.
Are you ready for our next story? Some more drama.
Yeah.
Quavo and Offset yes. fight backstage at the Grammys 2023 over the tribute to Takeoff. So Quavo and Offset got into a brawl so intense backstage during Sunday night's 2023 Grammys that they had to be pulled apart, according to a new report. The two performers apparently feuded over the musical tribute to Takeoff, the late rapper who served as one third of their group, Migos. Sources at the awards show told the outlet that just before Quavo took the stage to perform his song Without You during the In Memoriam segment, he and Offset got into a physical fight over the fact that Quavo allegedly refused to allow Offset to participate in the tribute despite the Grammys requesting it.
Mm-hmm.
Quavo even went so far as to block Offset from joining him on stage, which led to fisticuffs. Reps for the Grammys in both
rappers. Which led to what?
Fisticuffs. Like,
is that a phrase?
That's a word. Like, you know, fighting.
A brawl.
Brawl, yeah.
Okay.
Reps for the Grammys and both rappers didn't immediately return requests for comment, but Offset tweeted something later. And then there's also a video of Cardi B
Queen.
Yelling at both of them backstage. Queen on her queen shit.
Right. Like, for me, the Quavo and Offset fighting, like, isn't that juicy to me? Like, you know, they're in a band. They lost someone. Grief. Like, it happens.
Yeah. And apparently, prior to Takeoff's murder last fall, Quavo and Takeoff had been extremely close. But Offset had been on the outs from the group.
Mm.
But they're also all family. Takeoff was Quavo's nephew. And Offset is Quavo's cousin.
Okay. So they're family. So, like, again, like, makes the brawl less explosive. Like, families fight, especially during dark times. But for me, like, what I loved about this was Cardi B, like, literally getting in their faces, like, these two big grown men, and telling them to, like, literally stop. But she was being such, like, a mom.
Yeah.
If you listen, and talk about Entertainment Tonight being at the right place, the right time. Like, they just happened to have their camera backstage, and they literally caught the whole thing. I'm like, and it wasn't, she wasn't yelling at them. It wasn't, like, fighting. It was just, like, almost, like, reprimanding, like,
yeah, reprimanding,
children.
Like, stop. Like, you're both wrong, and you guys need to stop it.
Yeah, she said, you're both wrong. It was so, like... It was so iconic.
It was iconic. Like, I love, she doesn't care. We're backstage at the Grammys, but, you know, you need to be putting your place, and I'm going to be the one to do it. Like, I'm sure there were tons of people around, and, like, I feel like another celebrity would be, like,
shot,
know, pretend like everything's okay. Like, it's okay, honey.
Yeah. No, like, 100%. And then, wait, she walked past the Entertainment Tonight, like, interview station, and they were like, we heard you, you know, putting people
you
in their place.
You were smoothing something over.
And she was like, no, I was just fixing my dress, just smoothing my outfit over. Like, she was just being a queen.
She was being a queen. It's honestly the best video. It's sad to hear that they were fighting about this tribute and that, you know, things are...
Well, it's weird that Quavo, like, you know, try to cut out Offset.
Yeah, but, like, it's Quavo's song. two. Well, like I'm.
It's not even Quavo's song. They sang. Well, it was two songs. It's been a long day.
But he sang another song before that wasn't that song.
Yes, I know.
But
yeah, but
I'm not defending Quavo. But I'm just saying, like, you never know Quavo's POV. Of course, from our side, it's like you're all family and you're all members of Migos. You should all
yeah. But by the way, it was Quavo's song because Quavo wouldn't let anyone else be a part of the tribute.
No, but maybe like he wrote the song on his own. Like I'm sure. Let me look up the song and see if it.
I'm just saying, like, they could have found something for Offset to do.
If it's released, but he didn't want to.
Right. Why?
Why? Without You by Quavios. It says Quavios. Is that his like artist name on his own?
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Yeah, that probably makes sense.
Quavios artist. Yeah, he has one song, Without You. Okay, so it's his song and like he didn't want the other guy in it. Like,
yeah, but like they chose that song because he blocked out Offset from participating. But it's also
like it seems to be a song that he wrote about Takeoff.
I'm just saying like they were all family. They were all in a band and like they all deserve to grieve.
Yeah, that's true.
And I just can't explain how, like, with Cardi B around, like, I'm just not worried. I know they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
It's a hard time. You lose someone at a young age.
You lose, Trump. And it's, like, hard to, like, you lose perspective. Yeah. And, like,
you do crazy things.
And
you start, like,
blaming the wrong yeah. people. And I understand.
Me too. I think they're going to be okay as long as Cardi is putting them in their place. Like, she yeah. was so, like, really, like, channeling her mom energy.
No, it was honestly, like, I'm sure she was going through stuff backstage. But, like, she looked, she was the best dressed at the awards. Uh-huh. Like, she did, wasn't even nominated for anything, but it was Cardi's night.
No, and now we know she was, like, holding it that down the fort backstage. Like, yeah. queen doing queen shit.
Yeah.
Respect.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I hope they can work it out.
Me too. It's so tough when families, you know, start fighting. But they'll find their way back to each other.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story?
Mm-hmm.
Twitters and you people everywhere are slamming Leonardo DiCaprio over his romance with a 19-year-old. So Leonardo DiCaprio, who is 48, ugh. Is now dating a 19-year-old model, Aden Polani. He was first pictured with her at a release party for a EP, and they were, you know, seated next to each other at some event and whatnot.
So disgusting. I mean,
she's so gorgeous.
She's 19,
which is so... But to put things into perspective, someone said she's so young, her high school education was interrupted by COVID. Yeah.
No, this is really sick. And I guess I didn't even really put together how Leo's almost 50. I've just been considering him like as a man in his 40s. Like now he's 50, you know?
This is really, really crazy. Because it used to be like 25, ha, ha, ha. Like, okay, so he's dating someone 23, but like 19.
Is right on the border of legality.
Is so young.
He's really disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, this is gross.
Yeah, like, why can't you stomach the idea of being with someone who is, like,
30,
emotionally mature?
Yeah, no, and it's, like, it's so consistent. It's clearly a pattern, but, like, I can't even remember the last time he dated someone age-appropriate.
Yeah, probably when he was that age of the right. girls that he likes.
Right. So gross. Like, I...
And he has no shame. Like, you know the whole world is, like... talking about you and like we're 25. Like you're, you know, teetering on the edge and like you go lower.
Yeah.
But she's really beautiful.
No, I know.
Have and you she's, seen the pics?
Yeah. And she's like an Israeli queen.
Yeah.
And you know, it is worth mentioning, and this is a joke, so don't come for me, but like, you know, there is a draft in Israel for men, but so I don't know if she went to the army. But if she did, you know, you grow up really fast in Israel. You're like constantly under attack. You know, people hate you. So she's 19. I would say she probably has the maturity of a 25-year-old.
Yeah.
Still disgusting. Still not okay, but just worth mentioning.
Worth mentioning. She's probably mature for her age, which is a young age.
Yeah. No, Leonardo DiCaprio is really disgusting. And it's like, it's become such a joke. I feel like when he goes to award shows, like Ricky Gervais are always making a thing of it. And now it's just something we laugh at, but it's deeply and inherently problematic and disgusting.
Yeah.
So we're like laughing at it, but let's talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Also, Leo related, not a story though, James Cameron like finally admitted that the door on the Titanic that Rose
floated
on could have held both of them.
He held like a science experiment.
He held a reenactment with stunt doubles and he conceded that they could have both fit on the door, which is what everyone has been saying all along, you know, that if he just got on, they could have both been saved, blah, blah, blah. Now, I have a hot take.
Okay.
Because I've, like, read about the Titanic and that time and the people who were on the boat and the sacrifices that were made. And I think still, if it were real, Jack would not have gotten on the door.
Okay.
Because there would have been a risk that it could have flopped. Like, it's hard to get onto a surface. Like, you could knock off the other person. Yeah. Like, he could have put Rose in a scary situation. Also, if the door is like they just fit, then he could have been looking at it and being like, maybe we won't fit. And the men of the Titanic, most of them were like so chivalrous. So many men gave their lives for women and children. And they just stayed on the boat and they died knowing that they were going to die. And they said their wives should go. The kids should go. Like, they, so there weren't a lot, there were some men who didn't do that and some who were selfish and, like, you know, like we saw in the movie, the guy, but a lot of men, like, gave their lives for the women. And I think that Jack Dawson was that man.
I don't disagree.
Of that time, and would not have jeopardized Rose's survival for his own.
I mean, he could have just held on. He didn't have to get on. He could have just, like,
he's in the freezing water.
Yeah. But, like, held on for as long as he could.
No, but, like, he still would have died as quickly as if he didn't hold on.
Oh, from, like, hypothermia?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
So it wasn't the drowning, it was the weather.
No, it wasn't the drowning. I think he's wearing a life jacket. It's the coldness of the water. So if he got on the door, he wouldn't be in the water.
Got it, got it.
But, like, that's a balancing act, and I don't think he was going to jeopardize his Rose's
survival. You know, I agree. It's like a seesaw. It's very, it's unbalanced.
Yeah, so I think it was about chivalry.
I think so, too.
Which, like, I think a lot of the theme from the Titanic and the way it went down, quite literally, is how chivalrous the men of that time were.
Yeah,
you know, totally. Like, if something happened today, would it be women and children first?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
I don't think it would be.
But of course, today we're like, Jack, get on the door.
Yeah, right, right. No, I actually agree. I agree. I don't think that's a hot take.
Okay, no, it's just like my take.
You said, you literally, before we started the show, I have the hottest take.
I didn't say the hottest.
You've got, I have a hot take. You literally, hot.
My take was that Jack, even knowing if he maybe could have fit on the door, would not have gotten on.
That's not a hot take. Like, the way you explained it, you're right.
Thank you. James Cameron should call me because, like, he thinks he has a plot hole in his movie, but he doesn't.
James Cameron should do a lot of things.
And one of them should be to call me.
Yeah.
What else should he do?
You know, cast me in his next film.
When he calls me, I could tell him that.
Yeah. I guess everything I need from him, he could do on the call. Yeah, because he should definitely make, like, a biopic about the toast and, like, this, you know, unprecedented success.
And the thousandth episode. The thousandth episode should be directed by James Cameron. What do you think he would do with us?
Something, like, he'd beautiful. He'd probably, like,
move the camera around.
Something breathtaking. Yeah, I guess.
I don't know if he could handle us because you don't know when the next moment is coming and who it's coming from. So, like,
I think he would be excited by the spontaneity of it all.
He would have to study a lot of Toast episodes to be in the rhythm with us.
Yeah, but our rhythm is constantly shifting.
Constantly.
No, it's like our old episodes, like, ew. Not on our, ew.
But maybe through those episodes, he could see the pattern of our growth and he could predict where we're going next.
Right. He would probably need, like, a team of scientists. Like, and psychological, like, evaluators.
But honestly, I think we break the mold.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, we really are beyond unpredictable.
Beyond.
Like, maybe, yes, if he studied today's episode and, like, this week, he could guess Thursdays. But again, just depends, like, how we wake up, you know?
Yeah, and maybe not Thursdays, because Thursday we intend to do something
special and different.
Anything before.
Yeah, no, it's tough. It's definitely tough.
Yeah.
But he should still call us.
He should. And because your movie is historically accurate.
Yeah.
How about that, James
Cameron?
How
about them apples,
James? If James's niece listens to the show, please let him know.
Yeah.
He doesn't even need to call me. Just let him know it's historically accurate.
No, I could still use a phone call. Like, I could use a James Cameron film, like, to make my millions so then I can maybe rent Kevin Costner's house.
Yeah. That's all we want.
Yeah.
Like, we're simple girls.
Before we keep going, let me just let you know that today's episode is also brought to you by Thrive Cosmetics. High performance.
Thrive filled episode.
High performance beauty. And
you're wearing Thrive Cosmetics on your lips right now.
Oh, I am.
The tip of the tongue, the teeth, the lips.
So their high performance beauty and skincare products are made with clean, skin loving ingredients. No parabens, sulfates, phthalates. They're certified 100% vegan and cruelty free. So some of their best selling products, the ones that everyone knows, is probably the Liquid Lash Extensions mascara. It's the first vegan tubing mascara. It's their best selling product. It has a proprietary tubing formula that dramatically lengthens each lash from root to tip. I saw videos of it going viral and I was like, there's no way. And then I bought it and it really is that bitch. Like, it's a really amazing formula. It lasts all day without clumping, smudging, or flaking. And the removal is super easy. It slides right off with warm water and a washcloth. This is what I'm wearing today, the Sheer Strength Hydrating Lip Tint. It deeply hydrates lips with a hint of tint that applies and evenly lasts every 6 hours. So it glides on smoothly for an even color that's comfortable. Okay, my shade today is Kara, K-A-R-A. It's really nice. It's got like the hydration of like a balm, but with color.
I love a balm.
They also have their Brilliant Eye Brightener, which is a really beautiful shimmery.
Oh yeah, that's the one that will just make you look awake.
A highlighting stick. They've got their waterproof eyeliner. We have all the products and they're part of my collection down here and at home. It's a great time to try Thrive Cosmetics because they also have a mission that resonates with us. It's their Bigger Than Beauty initiative. So every product purchased, they donate to help communities thrive. Right now you can get 15% off your first order when you visit thrivecosmetics.com/toast. That's Thrive, CAUSEMETICS.com/toast for 15% off your order. Today's episode is also brought to you by Stamps.com. 2023 is already well underway, so don't wait any longer to level up your business and set your year up for success. Get ahead of the competition by using Stamps.com to mail and ship. They let you print your own postage and shipping labels right from your home or office. It's ready to go in minutes. You can get back to running your business sooner. So whether you have like an e-commerce business or you have a business that involves a lot of shipping or you just have like a lot of shipping needs in your personal life, Stamps.com is your one-stop shop because taking trips to the post office is genuinely like as close as it gets to hell on earth. But Stamps.com is the post office. Elevated. Postage rates just increased again, but luckily Stamps.com has the best discounts in the industry with rates you literally cannot find anywhere else, like up to 84% off USPS and UPS. Plus, Stamps.com automatically tells you your cheapest and fastest shipping options. For 25 years, they've been an indispensable resource for over a million businesses. You get access to USPS and UPS shipping services that you need to run your business right from your computer day or night. No traffic, no lines, no waiting. If you sell products online, Stamps.com seamlessly connects with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Use Stamps.com to print postage wherever you do business. All you need is a computer and a printer, and they'll even send you a free scale, so you have everything you need to get started. If you need a package pickup, you can easily schedule it through your Stamps.com dashboard, and you never have to leave your house, which is kind of everything. It's kind of what life is all about. So sign up with promo code TOAST for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. There's no long-term commitments or contracts required. You could set your business up for success when you get started with Stamps.com today. Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage and enter code TOAST at Stamps.com. That promo code is TOAST.
Thank you, Turd.
You're welcome.
Next story, a little behind the scenes, Grammys, more Grammys drama behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Harry Styles' stage rotated in the wrong direction during the Grammys. Backup dancers recall the choreographic turmoil. Before Harry Styles took home the coveted Grammy for Album of the Year on Sunday night, he took the stage alongside a team of backup dancers to perform his chart-topping As It Was. The dance number saw Styles and the dancers deliver elaborate moves atop a revolving turntable. I wouldn't say they were elaborate.
Because they were pretty much like walking, which is not that elaborate.
Also like the typical, like the dance, yeah. You know, but not elaborate by any means.
No.
On Monday, a couple of those dancers took to social media to address negative reactions to the performance, revealing that the stage rotated in the opposite direction than in their rehearsals. The choreographer said, 12 of us were on the turntable and we rehearsed for 10 days getting down these beautiful formations and sliding off the turntable. And Harry did such a good job integrating into it and had a beautiful duet. We were practicing with the turntable counterclockwise and we did it loads of times and got it down to the point where in dress rehearsal yesterday, it was spotless. Unfortunately, when it was time to showcase the number on live TV, the turntable started spinning the wrong way. That would explain why it was a little not amazing.
No, and Harry also fell off.
Yeah. He stumbled.
Yeah.
When he was going down.
Yeah, so I mean, I thought the performance itself was fine in terms of the choreography. I never would have noticed that something was wrong. I really felt like something was off with Harry.
Maybe this threw him, though.
For sure. But I felt like he carried that same kind of morose, like somber energy with him throughout the night.
Yeah.
So it didn't feel connected to the turntable. And I feel like Harry's such a professional. Like he's not easily thrown. You know, he's done the biggest stages in the world.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that had anything to do with his energy, but that sucks for the dancers who like, you know, this is their moment.
Yeah. I just feel like, I mean, you never know what you're going to do in a situation where you have to think on the spot. But I feel like if I were Harry, like I would have come down from the turntable when it was the time, like when he stumbled, and I would have stayed at the microphone.
No, fuck the turntable.
Fuck the turntable. Because then also, even though the dancers wouldn't know what to do with themselves, the spotlight is on you.
Yeah, no. And he's such a great performer. If he just dances and does his thing, like He doesn't need the frills.
And like the turntable would have been, it's an homage to the music video. So it's like, okay, it was in the beginning. Hey, it's the music video. And if he stayed at the mic the whole time, I wouldn't have noticed anything. And I also feel like I didn't think the performance was that bad.
Me neither.
Especially like the turntable stuff.
It was more so Harry's energy.
But now knowing that it went the wrong way, I'm like, oh, it was a total fucking clusterfuck.
Yeah, yeah. It could have been way worse.
I feel like if I were Harry, I kind of wouldn't want people to know that it went the wrong way. Because now like his appointment, his whole like performance is like kind of a failure.
Right, right.
As opposed to it just being like, oh, it was like not the best. His best.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, oh, everything went wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think I'd be like a little like miffed at all these backup dancers spilling the tea.
I feel like they had approval.
You think?
I think backup dancers are like extremely professional. They're always around like really A-list celebrities. They don't just like speak out, especially when Harry is, you know, such a big artist and has so many performances. Like you want to be a part of his crew for like, he has a long career ahead of him. And I feel like backup dancers like stick with you. Like Taylor's dancers have been with her forever. So they're not going to be acting out and like speaking out of turn.
No, I don't think they like think they're doing anything wrong.
I think they get approval like 100%.
You think so?
Yeah, they know the second, like all the major, major Harry fans follow them. They know the second they say anything, it gets picked up. I think without a doubt, they had his approval.
I don't know.
Because it's also like, you know, people thought I didn't do a great job. I want them to know what was really going on. Like there was a reason.
I don't know if you even think to get approval for like just, you know, sharing your truth on TikTok.
You do. When you work for like the biggest and the baddest, when it comes to social media, you have to get approved. I'm sure of it.
Okay.
And I could see them wanting it out there. Like, well, you know, the discourse is Harry stunk it up. Well, let's tell them why.
Yeah, but I think, at least for me and my perception of it, like, it just makes me think the performance was worse than it was.
Yeah.
Also, like, there's a video of, like, Harry and Taylor talking. Mm-hmm. Did you see this? Mm-hmm. And the TikToker, like, her theory, which I do believe this one, is that Harry is telling Taylor that the stage was going the wrong way. Because he, like, goes like this. And then she's like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm loving.
So like unlike Diplo's.
Yeah.
I believe that.
I'm loving the lip reading.
Yeah.
People, you know, who are either like deaf or just experts in lip reading are sharing on social media, like what they think they see. And because I'm not a good lip reader. But then when I see like somebody say it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's it.
But it could not be it.
It's subjective for sure.
You know, so take it with a grain of salt. Though I believe this one because it's like, okay, he went like that. And also it's not a harmful thing. Whereas like saying Diplo said that they bought that is like, not nice for everyone.
No, and also like you have to be dumb to do that because when you walk into the Grammys and you're seated at a certain, like a handful of tables, you know, like your reactions are going to be on TV. You may not see the camera, but you know that you could be on TV, especially when they're doing your category. So you wouldn't say something that stupid.
No, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I still don't. Are you ready for our fifth and final story, which is some wonderful human interest news and that we need to be highlighting wonderful stories like this of exceptional people.
Is it some good news?
Good ass news.
It's good news, Tio. It's good news.
A 9-year-old boy who wants to be an astrophysicist graduates from high school.
9 years old?
While most 9-year-olds are eagerly anticipating graduating from elementary school, this Pennsylvania boy just got his high school diploma. David Balogun, 9, recently received a diploma from Reach Cyber Charter School, which is based in Harrisburg, after taking online classes. This achievement makes David one of the youngest people to graduate from high school. He started high school right before COVID-19 closed doors to schools in early 2020, and he continued his studies virtually ever since. Per The Guardian, he ended up graduating in 3 years with a 4.0 GPA.
Oh my God.
The science teacher said David was an inspirational kid, definitely one who changes the way you think about teaching. You always hear about that. The teachers have like their one kid. They're like, that makes all these other kids worth it.
Let me see a picture of this kid. Is he so cute?
So cute. Look at him sitting on his computer with his headphones.
Oh my God. He's adorable. He literally looks 4 years old.
He's so young. And now he's going to college. He wants to be an astrophysicist.
Does that mean an astronaut?
He's already started getting his credits at Bucks County Community College.
Oh my God, that's where Brian's from, Bucks County.
Yeah, so I hope, they're still considering, the family told the outlet, they're still considering Ivy League institutions such as Harvard, Princeton, and UPenn. I think probably now with all this media, like, you know, he'll someone's going to snatch him up.
There'll be a spot for him.
But I look forward to seeing the incredible things that he does.
Oh my God, he's adorable. I'm so happy for him. Like, one thing about me, like, that could never have been me. Like, I was really not smart, like, in school. It was, like, definitely a lack of passion.
Yeah.
Like, a lack of giving a shred of a shit. But also a lack of the talent. Like, I was just not smart. So I feel like, you know, maybe in my life, I look back, like, I could have become, like, definitely some sort of, like, singing prodigy. Maybe even if I had applied myself a little bit, like, at the piano or the guitar, like, maybe I could have been. I could not have been an academic prodigy. Like, I...
No.
Never.
Never. I mean, really few people can be. You have to be, like, incredibly smart. Because you could be, like, really, really smart and be number one in your class. To graduate high school at 9 years old, like,
you have to be motivated, too. And, like, you have to
above and beyond. About, like Einstein.
There were a lot of kids I knew growing up who were, like, naturally smart. Like, they didn't have to study that much. They just, like, it worked for them. But they never... Like, it's, like, you have to have that. But then you also have want to, like, apply yourself. Yeah. Like, it's hard to have both.
Yeah. And so he said he wants to be an astrophysicist and he wants to study black holes and supernovas. Like, I'm sorry, if he's not on the next flight to space.
Oh, yeah. Somebody snatch him up, Elon.
The next civilian flight to space. What are you doing?
So true. Elon or Jeff or Richard.
Anyone.
Richie.
They're taking off every day.
No, totally. With, like, the dumbest, most irrelevant groups.
Yeah.
Like, get this kid.
I wonder if you have to be a certain age to go to space. Like, maybe your organs body,
yeah,
can't handle space.
For sure, by the way.
Yeah.
I love that story. Thank
Isn't
you for
that a
sharing.
Beautiful story about the campers doing incredible things? And we need to highlight stories because these are good stories and more people should, you know, strive for excellence.
Yes, academic excellence.
All forms of excellence.
You know, this kid is our best bet.
Sitting around on TikTok. You know he's not on TikTok.
This kid is our best bet at beating China. Our best bet. I've hope.
Yeah.
I hope he has a lot of friends who he encourages, you know, lot of youth.
It must be hard to find peers who are worthy of your time.
Especially when, like, your time is so valuable. You're literally graduating college in the time the kids are going to soccer practice.
Literally.
But I also hope he's making time for fun.
For fun.
Hobbies.
But I feel like he is, and I feel like his hobbies are, like, space exploration, astrophysics, and so it's
so great.
But
it's also important to get out there, you know, run around with other kids.
Yeah.
I hope he's, you know, playing sport.
I hope he gets outside. You know, he's not just on the computer all day.
I know.
Like, with his headphones, like a telemarketer, like,
yeah,
talking to people online.
Yeah.
He's got to, like, see other kids. I agree with that.
Yeah, maybe now that he's had this major accomplishment, maybe he'll take, like, a few months off and, like, go to camp or something.
Not him. Never.
Camp?
He's already working on his college credits. And by the way, it's winter.
Camp.
Okay, he could go to space camp.
Yeah, but also science, like, camp.
And then he's going to be on a college campus and, like, he's going to be the only 9-year-old. Like, that's got to be isolating.
No, I hope that, you know, the kids are nice to him.
And I hope his family moves with him.
Yeah.
He needs all the support he can get.
Yeah, I'm not kind of worried about him now.
Right? It's hard.
College campuses are tough, even when you're of age.
But he's purpose-driven.
Mm-hmm. Right, he's not really worried about, like, the social elements of it all. He's there for a purpose. He'll probably graduate faster than half those other snot-nosed kids.
And if you wind up at a college that he is
goes
at
to.
And he's in your lecture, like, you better be fucking nice to him.
Invite him to, like, have lunch with you.
Yeah, all, you know, age-appropriate activities.
Don't get him hooked on alcohol or drugs, please. I could see it going that way, too. Like, no. Young, impressionable kid. These college kids are crazy.
Yeah, they, like, invite him to the frat house.
Right, like, they think it's funny, like, and then he does a keg stand, and next thing you know, he's living on the street. Like,
no.
No, like, we have to protect him. I hope his parents, like, are really involved. They have to be.
They have to be. They have to be.
So exciting.
So exciting.
Literally, like, Goodwill Hunting, but, like, even better.
Yeah. 9 years old.
Wishing him the best at his academic endeavors.
I look forward to seeing what he does. Remember that name.
I look forward to seeing big things from him.
Yeah.
And speaking of big, it's time for lunch. So
what are we thinking?
I think it's more like, what aren't we thinking? Like, I'm feeling adventurous. I'm feeling big.
Are you feeling like we're going to go
leave
find
the house?
We're going to leave the house. Okay.
Because I think when we sit in the house and wait for lunch to find us, it's so, we always just end up eating some crap.
Yeah, we do.
You were just telling me about a place that's nearby that has good bowls.
Oh yeah. Let's go get bowls.
Yeah. One thing about me, like, I feel like this trend of, like, this lunch spot trend for, like, corporate life. Like, I feel like forever it's been, like, good salad places. It was, like, Sweet Green and Chopped, like, all these salad. And now the bowl industry is making its comeback. Like, warm rice, warm, like, a warm protein,
yeah,
grilled chicken or salmon. It's cooked. Like, I like the bowl
of
it all.
You know what I was thinking? Like, when I was reading Lessons in Chemistry, which you read, it's, like, I feel like, you know, in the 50s, 60s, like, they put everything into a casserole.
Hot thermos, like.
Into a casserole. And, like, now you just put all these ingredients, you deconstruct them in a bowl.
Yeah.
But we're eating the same thing.
We're eating a deconstructed casserole.
Except with probably, like, less cream.
Yeah, and also casseroles are fucking disgusting.
I really like the idea of them, but I've never seen one that I wanted to try.
Yeah. But I've seen plenty of bowls I've wanted to
Except
try.
Everyone says a lasagna is a casserole. Yes, it is.
It's not.
No, sure. Like, it's just a casserole, sure. But that's not what I'm talking about. Okay, how about that?
I would love lasagna.
We can make lasagna for dinner.
Yeah.
Okay. Something to think about.
So I hope you guys have some great lunch plans. We just, sounds like we got a good one.
Yeah, we have a good one. I hope we've inspired you. You know, you could get a wrap. You could get a salad. Maybe you brought lunch from home, which is literally the best kind of lunch.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was made with love.
Yeah. I think maybe I'll have some of that Annie's mac and cheese in the fridge for Harry. Like, maybe just, like, to hold me over.
Yeah, you could have some of that.
It's like, I'm really hungry.
No, I'm like a bottomless pit.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennial Morning Show. This was our 998th episode. Hope you guys have an amazing day. Thank you so much for listening to The Toast, Millennial Morning Show, where we live in investor stories. You need to turn every Monday, Friday, and just for watching us on YouTube. Please subscribe, give the video a thumbs up. We're also available on podcasts, and we're podcasts. We found on Spotify, and Stitcher, probably where you are. I guess, please, listen to podcasts, find us on the show, and we have a beautiful signing, where we are, and wingedly talented. Hope you guys have an incredible day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Love ya. Bye. Bye, Stryker.